now we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll turn to the word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray now, Lord, that as we transition to the preaching of the word, that you would just give me utterance and boldness and your spirit to proclaim the word. I pray, Lord, that you would speak the words that you want me to speak. Use my mouth and my heart. Lord, I pray that I'd be an instrument to you. I truly must decrease, and may you increase. May you be glorified and magnified. May your word not return void, but encourage your people so that they might hear your word. If there's one here who does not know you, we pray, Lord, that the word would work mightily upon their heart and that they would seek you and ask, what must I do to be saved? And that your saving spirit would come and do his proper work. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. If you cannot find Genesis, I'm going to send you to Pastor Taylor, and he's going to have to, you have to get one of those daily readings in the back there. So, out of respect for God's word, let us stand for the word of God. Genesis 5, beginning at verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. After he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Amen. You may be seated. All right. I'm using electronics here today. So, all right. You know, I love church history. I love history in general. I'm always on YouTube watching things about history. And one of the things, when you look at the history of the church in America, it's amazing how rich our religious tradition is in America. It is said that the Revolutionary War was spurred on by the preaching in the pulpits. And then the Civil War, there was revival that broke out in the Confederate camp. And many great pastors and chaplains were part of the Civil War. And in all of our military conflicts, there have been chaplains and pastors who have taken part in these wars. But I cannot remember the observer. It was a French man back in the 1800s. But he says the greatness of America can be searched back to the greatness of our pulpits. There was a time when the Reverend George Whitefield came to preach in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that they closed all the shops down and all the government offices and during the middle of the week so that people could come and hear the preaching of the word. The way people get excited about going to the ball games, that's the way it used to be in our country when it came to the preached word. But fast forward to our day, and we see a different atmosphere. Not only are people indifferent towards religion, now people are hostile towards religion. To speak the truth of God's words might land you in jail. You will be labeled a bigot, a racist, a sexist, a homophobe. These are the times in which we live. You know, at our military base, we had it was called a Clergy Appreciation Day. And that's a day where we invited the local clergy to just see what it is to be a chaplain. They got to walk around with us, and we escorted them. They got to see planes, and they had a great time. And then we had our base commander come, and he spoke to these pastors, these local clergy and these local pastors. And one pastor asked him, what do you think the biggest challenge is for our local airmen, our local military personnel in the military? And his answer was that our young military personnel don't have a moral foundation. They don't have a moral base. They do things, they do stupid things, they get in trouble. Why? Because they don't know God. They don't have a religious belief. In the military, one of the fastest growing religions really is the agnostic religion. Many people today put on their dog tags in case they die in combat so you can identify. They put no religious preference. Our young people today, many of them have barely ever been to church, know very little about religion, and are hostile towards religion. So what do we do as Christians as we look around and as we see all that's going on, how people are being persecuted and how people are hostile towards religion? What does God call upon us to do? Well, today, as we look in Genesis chapter 5, we look at the man named Enoch. Today I want to look at Enoch. And as we look at Enoch in Enoch chapter 5, we see that here is a unique man. In Genesis chapter 5, we have the genealogy of Adam. And we see basically a monotonous format, procedure that's going on, process. It says that this person lived, they died, he begot so-and-so, he lived, he died, until we get to Enoch. And then the Holy Spirit gives us just a little bit about Enoch. He says that Enoch walked with God. Not only did he live, not only did he die, but he tells us that he walked with God. And then in verse 24, he says that, for God took him. He walked with God. Well, what does it mean to walk with God? I'd like to read a quote by Thomas Watson. It says, if you desire to walk with God, get a liking for the ways of God. They are adorned with beauty. They are sweet with pleasure. They are fenced with truth. They are accompanied with life. They are lengthened with eternity. Be enamored with the ways of religion, and you will soon walk in it. That's a quote from Thomas Watson, the Puritan. It says in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? In other words, if we're going to walk with someone, we have to be in agreement with someone. Husband and wife have to walk together if they're going to be in agreement. The best marriages are two people who walk together as one. You know, businesses have to be on the same page. In the military, we have to be on the same page. We have to be in agreement. And Enoch and God were in agreement. Enoch loved what God loved, hated what God hated, served God, honored God, pleased God. That's what he desired to do. He walked with God. He and God were one in that sense. Enoch said, not my will, but your will. You know, it says in Genesis, I believe, chapter 5, that we ought to walk in the Spirit, that we be not filled by the lust of the flesh. In other words, if we walk in the Spirit, that means to be controlled by the Spirit. That means to be follow the Spirit. That means that we do the things of the Spirit. In other words, that we love God and we serve God and we honor God and we worship Him and we obey Him. In other words, we have spiritual life. Enoch and God had communion with one another. That's what it means to walk with God. Well, let's look at, if we can, just some lessons that we can learn from Enoch walking with God. And the first lesson we learn is this, that Enoch walked with God when very few people were walking with God. This was the period from creation to the flood, where wickedness was all in the earth, where it says that the Lord was sorry in Genesis 6, verse 6, that he made man on the earth. He was grieved in his heart. Violence was everywhere. In Genesis 6, 5, it says that the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In other words, Enoch didn't have many great examples. All he saw around him was wickedness, sin, evil, men doing what was right in their own eyes. No one living for God or serving God. Violence all over the earth. and so on. And yet, despite all this, Enoch determined to walk with God. He determined not to be like the rest of the world. And he walked with God as a husband, as a father, and as a preacher as well. He walked with God at his job. And all that he did all to the glory of God. He walked with him in every area of life. He was determined to walk with God, even if he had to do it alone. Even if he had to do it by himself, he walked with God. It says in Jude, the book of Jude, that Enoch preached to the world that judgment was coming, that God was coming to judge the world, that he was coming with his saints to judge the evil that was in the world. Enoch was a preacher. He witnessed. He testified. He was salt and light to a world that was filled with darkness, to a world that was filled with sin. Enoch walked with God. And in our day and in our time, God commands us still to walk with him. No matter what our neighbors are doing, no matter what the world is doing, he still commands us to walk with him. And we have it a lot better than Enoch. Enoch didn't have a Trinity Reformed Presbyterian Church. Enoch didn't have a Wednesday night Bible study or a men's study or so on. There were probably very few people walking with him. And yet he was determined to walk with God. What do we see in our world? Evil all around, wickedness all around. And yet God still commands us to walk with him. He still commands us to have communion with him. He still commands us to serve him. He still commands us to be like Joshua. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He commands us to walk in the Spirit, to say no to evil, to resist sin, not to live for the deeds of the flesh, not to love this world, but to love God, to serve him, to keep our eyes focused on God. The world, by and large, is not following God, even in the churches. For the most part, they're not following God. They're living according to their own pleasures. You go to the typical church today, you see that the majority of people are living together outside of marriage. You know, many people that come into my office, they live together. And when I ask them why, well, we have to see first if we can make it work.
Watch out.
And then after that, if we can make it work, then we will get married. But God is not mocked, because the divorce rate for people who live together before they get married and is much higher than people who just get married without living together. Why? Because man thinks he knows what's best. Man thinks that he knows what's best for him, and he thinks that he understands better than God. But the scriptures are clear that the marriage bed alone is honorable. And God will judge all the rest. And so what do we see? Men living according to their own pleasures, their own desires. You know, people get married today. And tomorrow, because they're having difficulties, they go and they find someone else. They're not walking with God. Pornography and all these other things are on the uprise. Why? Because men do not walk with God. But God says, you're different. He says, come out from among them. I've called you to be salt and light in this world. I've called you to be a preservative. I've called you to be the light of the world, to represent me, even in this evil world. God tells us not to run out of this world. He tells us not to go up into the mountains and wait for Jesus to come back. But he tells us to be salt and light in this world. And so he tells us to walk with him, as Enoch did, and to be a witness and a testimony before God and to the world. Because the world needs God. The world needs to be saved. The world needs Jesus. They think they need more money. They think they need more education. They think they need more pleasures. But what they need is a relationship with God, and they don't know that and understand that. But that's why we're there. Because if the world won't come to the church, we as the church, we go to the world and we tell them what they need. So the first lesson we learned, that Enoch walked with God when it was very unpopular. The second lesson we learned is that Enoch walked with God by faith, as it was read in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Enoch pleased God. Indeed, Enoch was not a perfect person. He was the son of Adam. He was a son of wrath. He was a sinner. It says there in verse 22 that Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. And so at one point, Enoch was not a Christian. He was not a believer. He was unsaved, but he was born again. He was reconciled. He was saved by faith, not by his works, but by faith. And Enoch walked with God by faith. He had faith in Jesus. He had faith in Christ. He had faith in the Lord. And his faith was this, that not by works, but by his humble dependence upon Christ, he walked with God. Enoch walked with God the same way that you and I walk with God. He didn't have the light that we have. He didn't have the revelation or the whole canon of Scripture. But what he had, he did it by faith. The Bible says that in Genesis chapter 4, that Abraham preached the gospel by faith, to that the Gentiles would come to believe. By faith, Abraham believed, and by faith, Enoch believed. Enoch, indeed, he was not a perfect person. Indeed, he was a sinner. He needed forgiveness, just like we need forgiveness. But Enoch had faith. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. See, faith is the instrument that connects us to God. Faith is the instrument that connects us to Christ. Saving faith is what we need. That's why it's impossible to please God. The reason why is because faith opens up our eyes. Faith opens up our ears. Faith enables us to see. Faith peels back the curtains and see that there's more to this world than things. Faith transcends us up into heaven. Faith transcends us up to see God, to see him by faith. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. See, the world lives as if there is no God. There are no consequences. There is no eternity. There is no heaven, no hell. They live for today. Why? Because they're blind. They can't see. But faith, which the Spirit gives us, opens up our eyes so that we can see. And so this is why Enoch had such great communion with God. This is why he walked with God. This is why, because his faith that he had. Why? Because faith believes the promises of God, believes the threatenings of God, believes the commandments of God, believes all that God says. The Bible says, Abraham believed God and was appealed unto him for righteousness. When God told Abraham that you're going to have a child at 100 years old and Sarah was 90, that seemed to be impossible. From a natural perspective. But Abraham believed the word of God. Why? Because of the faith that he has. Do we believe the word of God? Do we believe Christ? Do we believe his promises, his threatenings? Do we believe that there is an eternity, that God's eyes are always on us, that he watches us, that he looks at us, that he sees us? I cannot do that. Why? Because God sees me and he looks at me. We need this faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And our faith tells us this, that God's in control. That he's in control. We see all that's going on. You know, with the Supreme Court ruling, with the same-sex marriage, the whole world was rejoicing. And they were rejoicing because, we've got those Christians now. Now we really have the advantage over them. Now they were throwing it in our face. They showed in Oklahoma where they were ordered to remove the Ten Commandments. And it says that the Satanists came and painted a bunch of obscene things there. Indeed, we see all these things are taking place. It seems, as Pastor Taylor said in his prayer this morning, that everything is upside down, that we're powerless to stop it, that we're helpless to stop it. But the fact of the matter is that Christ is still building this church, and the gates of hell should not prevail. God is not caught off guard by this. We believe in the sovereignty of God. He's not wringing his hands. He's not having an emergency meeting. He's not scratching his head. He's not saying, boy, we were not expecting this. But God knows the beginning from the end. Amen. And he's still on the throne. He's still ruling. And he's telling us to walk with me and to trust me. Now, we can get into all the reasons why this is taking place. Yes, maybe God is obviously sending a strong delusion that people believe a lie. He's giving people up to their sins. And probably this is a judgment on the church. All those things might be true. But Christ is still building his church. And God is still on the throne. And our faith tells us to believe that. And therefore, we can walk with God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Our minds are to be kept on heavenly things, not on earthly things. In this world, we walk by sight. But our faith is what we need. We need it, and the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we're not in the word of God, again, as Pastor Taylor says in his prayer, we will shrivel up and die. But our faith tells us that God sees all and understands all. And as we read the word, as we hear the preaching of the word, as we continue to grow in these things won't catch us off guard because we know who's in control. And we know who holds the future. And we know that we're in his hands. And that's the best place to be. And so Enoch walked with God. Enoch saw all these things that were going on, but it did not deter him from following God, from serving the Lord. See, some people serve God because it's maybe politically expedient. I know it's in the military. If the commander comes to church, all of a sudden you see everyone else coming to church because they want to be seen by the commander. But we come to church because we're walking with God. We're coming to church because we're following God and serving God because we want that relationship with God. That's why. And then the third thing, and this is the final thing, is this, is that not only did Enoch walk with God by faith, but he was translated to heaven by faith. As one Puritan says, he lived like unlike others, so he died unlike others. Notice that Enoch only lived 365 years. When you look at all the other these other people, you see some of them live 900 years, 800 years, and so on. But it's only speculation, of course. But perhaps he lived relatively a short period of time was because he desired to be with Christ. He desired to be in heaven. And as it says in Hebrews chapter 11, that the world is not worthy of all those who walked by faith. God in his mercy sometimes takes us out of the sinful world so that we can be with him. Enoch's work was done. It was speculated that because he was a preacher of righteousness, people didn't like it. A lot of people don't like to be confronted with their sins, and they were out to hurt Enoch and to kill Enoch, and God protected them and took care of him. Indeed, because Enoch lived well, he died well. I once heard a preacher go to see a person who lived his life in sin. He was on his deathbed. And the preacher says he went into the room. He says the guy gave him an angry look. And says, get out of here, preacher. He says, I live like hell, and I'm going to die like hell. What a sad testimony. With a sad testimony to think. But for believers, we don't have to fear death. The reason why we don't have to fear death is because Jesus has taken the sting out of death. If we are in union with Christ, if we know Christ as our Savior, why do we need to fear? Indeed, Enoch was translated. He and Elijah were the only two that did not taste death or see death. But however, this is an encouragement to us because it says in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not to the valley and stay there, but through the valley. Death is just the transitioning point for us to go to heaven. Death is just the river that we have to cross to get to heaven. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Jesus has taken away the sting of death at the cross. Indeed, this should encourage us. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why should we have to fear? Why should we have to be afraid of death? If we are in Christ by faith, we know that Christ, who begun a good work in us, will complete this work in us. He will not leave us. Some people say, well, I'll be with you for a while. Then something happens and they leave. But Christ promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Indeed, in Hebrews chapter 11, it seems that the Holy Spirit purposely, intentionally set it up in a wonderful way, because first he talks about Abel. Abel, he says in verse 4, that Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain by faith. Abel, the reason why Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's wasn't, because Abel offered in faith. Abel was a believer. The blood of Christ covered his sins. Then we go to Enoch next. In Enoch, it says, by faith was taken away so that he did not see death. It was not found because God had taken him. And so we have Abel, whose sacrifice of Christ, by faith he offered it. And then the very next verse, we see that Enoch being translated to heaven. Indeed, this is how God works. Because we're saved by faith, because the blood of Christ covers our sins, the next step is that when we die, death cannot harm us. And we'll be taken up into heaven by faith. This is the testimony that Abel had, was that he pleased God. This is a testimony that Enoch had, that he pleased God. Is that our testimony, that we're walking with God, that we please God? If we do, then what do we have to fear? Paul says this, that it's far better to be with Christ than to be in this world. To live is Christ, to die is gain. So God commands us to walk with him, to walk with him by faith, to walk with him on a daily basis, to walk with him every day in our homes, at our jobs, to grow closer to him, to commune with him. More and more, we need him. As a Christian, we see it. You know, it's interesting when you watch a parent teach a child how to ride a bike. They hold on to the bike, and they run with the child, and the child's pedaling, and then the child starts pedaling the bike, and the child starts riding. It says, look, Mom, Dad, I'm riding the bike. Well, many Christians think that is the way God deals with us, that he runs with us and lets us go, and look, I'm riding the bike. But that's not the way God deals with us. He holds on to us every step of the way. And thank God he does. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he falls, God is right there to uphold him in his hands. See, the more mature we get, the more we grow in Christ, the more we see we need Christ, the more we see that we need Christ every day, that we consult Christ on a daily basis. We don't make a decision without asking Christ. We follow him. We serve him. Whatever he asks, we do it. Why? Because of the faith that we have. It connects us to Christ, to cling to Christ. And that's my exhortation to you today, is to continue to walk with God in this world. Don't waver. Don't falter. Keep walking with your Savior. Keep walking with him like Enoch. Let Enoch be a witness, a testimony. Let Abraham, let all of those people of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 continue to walk, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. No matter what happens in this world, we keep our eyes focused on Jesus and ask God to cling and to open up and to reveal more of his love and of his presence to us. May God give us the grace to do this. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for this little exhortation this morning, that we might walk with you by faith. Enable us to do it. Help us to do it. Help us to be like Enoch. And may we have this testimony that we please you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.